Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, starting at verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Suze. Well, let's get stuck into this well-known piece of text together. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity as we begin our summer Sabbath season to reflect on what it means to rest, to actively change our pace so that we might be sustained in you. Amen. I thought I'd start this morning by sharing with you an excerpt from a conversation between two kind of giants, if you like, of Christian faith, certainly on the other side of the Atlantic. It's a conversation between, took place in the 1990s, and it took place between the best-selling author John Ortberg, if you haven't read any of his books, highly recommend them, and his mentor, the even more well-known Dallas Willard. And if you've never read any Dallas Willard, you are in for a treat if you do. And John was rising to prominence, and he was the pastor of a big church called Willow Creek in Chicago, and things in theory were going well, but he was getting busier and busier. His life was more and more packed as his books sold. And so he turned to his mentor, and he says this. So John calls up Willard and asks, "What do I need to do to become the me I want to be?" There's a long silence on the other end of the line. According to John, with Willard, there's always a long silence on the other end of the line. Then, "You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." "Thanks," says John. John scribbles down the line in his journal, and this is before Twitter, otherwise it'd have broken the internet. And then he says to Dallas Willard, "Okay, what else?" Another long silence. Dallas Willard replies, "There is nothing else. Hurry is the greatest enemy of spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." End of conversation. And when I first read that and first heard that, it really struck a chord with me, because I wonder if, like me, you can relate to that conversation. You know, we're now perhaps 30 years on from when it took place, and we live in a very busy world. We have technology in our lives that places demands on us that to previous generations were simply unimaginable. We have technology that keeps us constantly connected to one another, that sense of always being on and very rarely off. We live in a world where we expect everything instantaneously, either as a download or delivered the same day or the very next day from the day that we ordered it. Workplaces busier than ever before. Again, the volume of communication that some people have to deal with at work is huge. And if you think I'm just talking here about folks who are in work, then you'd be wrong. Most of the retired people I know are some of the busiest people I know. In fact, it's a often shared cliche, isn't it, that many retired people say, "Gosh, I don't know how I ever found time for work before I retired." And the antidote to all of this busyness is this concept of Sabbath, a rhythm of built into our lives of rest and downtime, a rhythm where we regularly disconnect, if you like, from the world and reconnect with God in our life in the fullest sense. And I think a rhythm, Sabbath as a rhythm, is the best metaphor I can find to describe it. Because a rhythm beats, doesn't it? It stays constant. It's something that becomes hardwired into our lives so that that rest and downtime happens as automatically and regularly as the next beat along in the pattern. And this rhythm of life, it's a one in six rhythm of 6 days of work and a day of rest, goes right back to creation, doesn't it? God creates the world in six days, and on the seventh day he rests. And it's fascinating when we look at what does the Hebrew word Sabbath actually mean? It literally means cessation, is the best English translation of it, but that really means the total stopping of all activity. And all the way through the New Testament, and we see it right through the New Testament as well, we see people, that's what they do. They get to the Sabbath and they are to stop all work and simply to be and to rest and to enjoy that day. You know, this is such an important concept for people who follow Jesus today that it's hardwired into the Ten Commandments. It's number 4, in case you're wondering. If you want to check that out, that's Exodus 20, and it's verses 8 through 11. And the story of Martha and Mary really highlights for us perhaps the two different ways we can choose to be. And every time I read it, I kind of go, gosh, this could have been written yesterday, couldn't it? And I think one of the endearing and enduring qualities of hearing this little exchange between Martha, Mary and Jesus is that, like so many of the things that happened to Jesus, we recognize ourselves in these two incredible women of the Bible, don't we? We map ourselves instantaneously onto either go, oh, I'm very Martha, or I'm very Mary. So Martha welcomes Jesus into her home, we read, and instantaneously she does the hospitable thing. She goes and puts the kettle on. And her sister Mary, we're told, instead sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. Meanwhile, Martha was distracted by her many tasks. I mean, gosh, just hearing that again, you know, how many of us can relate to one of those two people? You know, we live in a world that's full of distraction that kind of just pulls us off course from the things that we would like to do. You know, so much of the technology that, you know, the wonder of it that brings us together on a Sunday morning, yes, but it's also engineered, and the algorithms are engineered to distract us, to make us constantly feel like we are missing out if we're not using it. And let's leave technology to kind of one side. You know, we live in a world where there's choice is almost a distraction for us. There is so much choice in like unprecedented, isn't it? I mean, gosh, how many of us like find it hard to choose something to watch on the television? Even if you've not subscribed to like Netflix and Disney Plus and things like that, just what you can get on Freeview alone, it's almost paralyzing the amount of choice that we have and how distracting that is. You can spend ages scrolling through the listings and still not end up watching anything you wanted to. Now, before I go too much further, I want to just flag up that there's nothing inherently wrong with being busy. There's nothing inherently wrong in being productive. In fact, actually, it's probably a very good thing that we all have a bit of Martha in us from time to time. But I guess the point about it is this, is that it's not sustainable if that's where we constantly stay. Because hurry becomes distraction. It pulls us from the life-giving rhythms that Jesus is offering us. Now, again, in our passage, we see that played out in spades, because Martha is missing out on time with Jesus. Now, just imagine that. If Jesus were to walk into your living room this morning, I think you'd want to hang out with him. And, you know, for us today, we might be missing out on all sorts of other kinds of blessings if we are too hurried, too busy. We might be missing out on time with our kids or our grandkids. We might be missing out on time with our friends or our partner. We might be missing out on a myriad of different things that give us life and give us joy. Here's a good litmus test for you if hurry is something you need to address. If you're like me, I love reading books. But you know what? Nearly every night I get to kind of perhaps sit in bed and I find myself too tired to actually pick up the book and engage with it. And if that resonates with you, then we need even more so a good rhythm of Sabbath. And Jesus answers Martha, doesn't he? He says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, and there is only need of one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Sometimes, perhaps often, in fact, we need to take Jesus's advice. We need to simply stop, take a deep breath, and enjoy the world around us, this beautiful creation in which we live. I think that is the better part that Jesus is describing. He's describing and hinting at that sometimes we need to know when to stop. When to stop and to do the things that will fuel us. When to be Mary so that we are refueled to be Martha again. Now, I think Sabbath rhythm comes in three forms, three different parts. And I'm going to give you some examples of kind of how that might work for you or for me. But again, just think, as I say these next three things, how might that work in my life? What would that look like for me? So three forms of Sabbath. The first is to disengage daily. What would it look like for you if you were to find an hour each day where you completely disconnect, where you turn off your phone, step away from the socials, and instead talk to your spouse or read a book or, do you know what, sit staring at the wall if that's what you need to do. Jesus, I'm often reminded, Jesus took naps, and maybe that's what you need to do too. How could you build in something for 1 hour every day where you switch off from busy and focus on something that's restful and restorative? So that's a daily discipline to try and build up, an hour each day perhaps. And then to build on that, we need to Sabbath weekly. So find an hour each day, but then each week to find one 24-hour period where again we switch off from the distractions. No work, no phone, no emails, no internet. You know, on a Friday, on Susie and I's day off, we try in varying degrees of getting it right to do this. We try and disconnect from technology for the day and instead try and engage with the things that give us life. So again, like if you want to read, read a book. If you want to talk to somebody who you love. If you are artistic, paint a picture, write a poem. You know, if tidying helps restore and relax you, go for it. And it's often a mistake to think when we hear Sabbath, because it's about stopping, we often think that that means therefore we must do something really quiet instead. And actually that's the real opposite for some people. For some people, actually, the way they're going to rest and relax is to go and do some exercise, play some sports, or to go out. That's how other people will be relaxed and restored. We're all different. I think a good principle on your sort of 24 hours of Sabbath is to think about, how can I do something that's opposite to the rest of my week? You know, if I have a very busy week, then I want to try and do some things that intentionally slow me down. Flip side, if you sit at a desk looking at your computer all week, then you probably want to do something active, something that's outdoors. You know, if work, if the job that you do or the things that you do each week are routine and perhaps sometimes, you know, not over hugely mentally stimulating, then perhaps do something creative. Find something that's the opposite of how you spend a lot of your time. It might be a way in to Sabbath. So we disengage daily, we Sabbath weekly. So 1 hour a day, one day a week, and then we need to Sabbath seasonally. Now this is what we try and do as church. And it's something that we do because it is so important in our world to give ourselves permission to slow down, to dial down and to do things differently. We value the people who serve and on teams as church, and we want to give them as big a break as we possibly can through the summer. We want to set church at a different pace so that we have a real contrast. When we come back in the autumn, we can come back rested and ready to go again, having taken that time to step back and just make things that little bit more simple, that little bit more straightforward. And I'm not just talking when we think about this in our own lives. I'm not just saying, oh, you know, go away on holiday. I mean, many of us will do that. And you know, what a blessing it is. I know lots of folks, if you don't have to be bound by summer holidays, you've probably already done that, or you're going in September, one of the two. And that's a great way to Sabbath. But I'm talking about something a little bit longer than the week or the 10 days we might take on holiday. You know, if the summer works for you, and it maybe you need to find a different timing, but the summer works for many of us, then slow down for the month. Think about what it would be like to live differently, for example, throughout the tail end of July and August. You know, perhaps if you you work and you work away from home, perhaps you're going to come home each day so that you're there for dinner with your family or your partner, your spouse, every night through August, instead of coming home late. Perhaps you're going to go, do you know what, we're going to sit and watch that film we've been meaning to for ages. In fact, we're going to make a list of all the things we've been meaning to watch. And in August and in July, we're going to, you know, once, two, three times a week, we're going to get through all these films that we've said we wanted to watch, but we haven't. Maybe it's inviting those folks over for dinner who you just simply never quite find time to invite them in. Maybe it's something as simple as going, do you know what? I'm going to take an extra 20 minutes in bed in the morning because the transport's less crowded, the roads are less crowded, the tube's less crowded, and I can take a little bit more time just so I arrive at work that little bit calmer. And do it for a season. Think about it. Put in some kind of, you know, August is a really good boundary, if you like. A season for having Mary time, where we're just going to sit metaphorically at the feet of Jesus, because these things that give us life, these things I've been describing, are the very things that God's given us in creation to help us rest and relax and to be entirely human. We're not created just to be busy. We're created to be textured and to have ups and downs and highs and lows and rest and busy in our lives. And the joy is that the more we get the Mary time bit right, actually, your Martha side ends up thanking you, because you find out, actually, you can Martha again from that place of rest, and you can do it so much often more effectively as a result. And who knows, some of these habits you might try this summer, they might even stick and become weekly or daily things that help you disengage daily and Sabbath weekly. So as we kind of head into the next six Sundays of our summer Sabbath here at church, as we dial down, I want to encourage you all to think about, what was it going to look like to embrace your inner Mary this summer? What's it going to look like to stop, to leave the hurry, and to sit at the feet of Jesus, to be restored? I hope that you can find time to ingrain this Sabbath rhythm of disengaging daily, Sabbathing weekly, and taking a season each year. I hope you can find a way to really build that in through the summer. And I hope that you can be blessed by God's commandment to stop one day in every seven and to do nothing, to disconnect from distraction and connect with who you are created to be. Give it a go. See what joy it can bring and how much easier your inner Martha will find things as a result too. Ruthlessly eliminate hurry this summer, and I pray that God will bless you deeply as you do so. Amen.